Thank you very much, Marjorie. Welcome. We have a good turnout tonight. It's great to see that there are so many people interested and concerned about what's happening to our electricity system. I have some PowerPoints to sort of help me with my memory in terms of doing the presentation this evening, and I'm just going to wait for a second until perhaps you can turn down the lights a bit, see if they're visible. So what I want to do is to try and give you a sort of overview of what's been happening in the last little while in terms of the government's policies, and to also hone in a little bit, focus a bit on some of the financial implications for taxpayers and ratepayers in BC of what the government is doing. And then I'm going to have a brief look at the implications of the government's policies in terms of energy security for the province and our ability to remain self-sufficient within BC. I'm going to talk a little bit about the environmental impacts, and you'll hear more from some of the other speakers with respect to that issue, a very important one. And then some discussion as well to provide again an overview of what's happening to communities in BC as a result of the government's agenda. And I hope, you know, in our discussion after the presentations by the various speakers here that we have a chance to talk a bit about the experiences that others have had with the government's water privatization agenda and its broader electricity privatization agenda to share some information with each other and to get a better sense of the overall impact of the policies the government is pursuing across the province. And particularly, there's going to be some discussion about the infamous Bill 30, a bill that was passed by the legislature, I would argue, in order to override the legitimate objections of a number of municipal governments to the kinds of projects that the government is trying to push through in its support of private power developers. And finally, hopefully, we can have a bit of a discussion about some of the options that we should be pursuing to try and fight back in terms of this agenda. Trafford? Let me just start with the background, and there's a lot that I could say, so I'm going to try and be as compressed as possible here, but we have the government's energy policy of 2002, which was a policy that did a number of different things, but they were all connected in terms of the general thrust of the government's approach, an approach to gradually over time privatize our electricity system and deregulate it and integrate it into the grid in the Pacific Northwest with the major U.S. utilities. Now, the government has been very, I would argue, deceptive in terms of how it's described this agenda because it said repeatedly that it's not privatizing BC Hydro. But you don't have to actually privatize the company BC Hydro to privatize the electricity system and to deregulate the electricity system. Those things are quite possible without actually selling a company. And if you could think about this, if BC Hydro had two employees, it would still be public, and they would not have privatized it, but the whole of the rest of the system could then be private. So what does it mean to say we're not selling BC Hydro when all the other policy initiatives of the government are intended to move our electricity system into the private sector and to remove public control from it? Now, the energy policy or the energy plan that was announced did a number of different things to set the framework for privatization. One of them was to indicate that BC Hydro could not build anything new, even though, and I'll show you a slide in just a minute, that our system has been very successful from the viewpoint of ratepayers and from the viewpoint of maintaining public control of our energy resource and our water resource. The government has completely turned its back on this experience and instead said arbitrarily, with no evidence, because all the evidence points in the other direction, that it was going to stop BC Hydro from doing any further construction of energy-generating facilities. All new energy that the province needs must now come from private sources. At the same time, BC Hydro is still responsible for planning the province's energy needs over time, and the way this now works is that BC Hydro has to purchase every year increments of new energy from private power developers across the province. So based on the projections of future need, and you have to plan a number of years in advance, 10 or 15 years in some cases, it's now acquiring the energy that it arguably we may need down the road, but it's all from private sources. And these are called energy purchase agreements. And every year, BC Hydro puts out a tender call now. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the latest tender call, the 2006, that we now have the results on. Just before moving on to this, I just want to say that the system is not particularly broke. This is a table taken from Quebec Hydro. They do an annual survey of the electricity prices that customers face all across North American major cities. And you'll see, although they've highlighted Quebec Hydro, which is the dark black bar, three bars down, actually Vancouver is the second from the top bar. And using Quebec as an index of 100, we see that our residential prices here are, if I can read this properly, it looks like 97, and then Winnipeg is 95. So we are among the three lowest, in fact, the second lowest energy price for consumers in North America. So we have a system that's arguably not broke. Why are they doing so many initiatives to try and fundamentally change what we've got that has worked in the past? Trafford? So what I want to do to sort of frame all of this is to explain the royalty system, the fee system for private hydro developers, so you have a sense of how little the public is really getting for the transfer of our water resource to private interests. Private power developers pay three kinds of fees, or royalties if you like, for the use of our public water resource. One is a water license fee. A second is a water rental fee based on the amount of energy that's developed from a power project. And the third is what's called a capacity charge, which measures the, as it were, the output or the power of the project, normally measured in megawatts. Next one. So in BC, we're talking here about water licenses for power. There's lots of other kinds of water licenses. I think there's 42,000 water licenses of one sort or another in the province, you know, for municipal water systems, for agriculture and farms and so on. But these are water licenses specific to generating energy from hydro, from water. And there's about 400 of them out there. And most of these have been awarded in the past 4 years. And some of them in anticipation, one would argue, of the new energy policy that the government was pursuing. To get a water license, you have to be either a BC resident or be a BC registered company. Now, the thing about being a BC registered company is that anybody who pays, I think it's $358 or whatever the fee is right now, can become a BC registered company no matter where they come from around the globe. So if you're IBM or if you're General Motors or if you're Toyota and you pay your $358, you register, you're a BC company, you can have a water license. It's great if you're a foreign company. And then the final point I would make is that to get your water license, you have to be first in line at the registry office, which means that it's very helpful if you knew in advance that the government was going to change the policy to make these water licenses hugely valuable. And I would argue that First Nations in particular, nobody bothered to tell them that water licenses were going to be given away on a first-come, first-served basis, and maybe they should get to the registry office and put in their application to get them. So it's a completely arbitrary process that the government used with absolutely no consideration of the value of the water license, the economic value of this resource. So in terms of... Have we gone through? We may have gone through. Yeah, okay, let's go to the next one. I think I've got one of my slides mixed up here, but it's all right. In terms of the fees for water power, there's two general. Can you go back? Yeah, that two general categories. We've got small projects which may generate up to say $12 or $14 million in annual revenue from generating power from that water resource, and what you pay for that license is $5,000. One time, $5,000. A larger license, and the maximum is a $10,000 license, would enable you to generate power up to maybe $60 or $70 or $80 million a year in revenue. You pay $10,000 to get that license. So arguably, that's not very much, certainly from the public's point of view. Now, the sites for water licenses around the province have been well known for many years for generating power. There was a survey, and the point I want to make here is that all of this has been public information. that has been collected by the government over the years or by BC Hydro. So it's not like we're going out and hunting for or finding oil or gas where we have to drill and some of the holes are empty and so on. All of this is part of the public record. There was a study done in 1983 by the Ministry of Energy to try and inventory all the potential small hydro sites around the province. I think there were about 11 or 1,200 identified. And there were two more major studies by BC Hydro, one in 2000 for the mainland and one in 2002 for the island, to identify in more detail the energy capacity, the cost of building a power plant, how much it would be in terms of kilowatt hours for the output, all these details, how long the transmission line would be and how much it would cost to build it, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of very detailed information sort of identifying where the best sites are, where you're likely to make the most return on the acquisition of a water license and the construction of a power plant. So arguably the public sector and government, us basically, we have put a lot of resources into providing the information that private water developers or private power developers need to build their plants. Now, water licenses are awarded for. Can you go back just? Yeah. Okay. One more. Four. Water licenses. One more. Yeah. Okay. No. One. Okay. Sorry. We're trying to coordinate this. Water licenses are awarded for 40 years, okay? So theoretically, the public can take them back. But they're renewable. So once someone has a water license, they're able to request that it be extended for another 40 years. I think more importantly, at the same time that the water licenses are being given out, the developers are also acquiring the land on which the private power projects are actually located on. That is, the sites on the rivers and streams around the province. And once you own the land on which you build a power project, it's arguably impossible for anybody else to make use of that water resource for generating power, because you've presumably selected the best site, you own the land there. Who else can possibly use that water resource? So basically, the water license is a permanent entitlement once you've got it, even though theoretically it's only for 40 years. Now, in terms of the public royalties, I talked briefly about the water license fee, the $5,000 and $10,000. In addition to that, the public gets a royalty called a water rental, and that's currently $1.08 a megawatt hour. Now, that a lot of you probably don't deal with megawatt hours or kilowatts or kilowatt hours, what you get your local, your residential electricity in, but a megawatt hour, 1,000 kilowatts. $1.08 per megawatt hour is what is being charged to small projects. BC Hydro, when it's buying energy back from these projects right now, is paying $87. So arguably the public is getting just over 1% of the value of the water resource in terms of the charge that we levy to private power developers. It's not very much. Also, one other point that's relevant here, this water rental fee is not indexed to the price of the energy. So if the price of the energy doubles, the price of the water rental fee is not likely to go up at all or only very small amounts, because it's tied to BC Hydro's own fees or rates that it charges you and I. So there isn't even a mechanism to try and capture some of the windfall profits that are being made from these power developments. Energy prices double, that's all extra money for the investor who's bought the power project. The third charge is what's called a capacity charge, and this measures the output of the power project. And normally it's around 1% of the value of the electricity that's being generated. And there are some other minor charges, $200 to renew the water license every year, et cetera, but they're very small. So what's the public benefit for this wonderful water resource that we have? Well, arguably maybe 3 or 4% of the value of the water resource is what the public is getting back for allowing private power developers to have access to our water. It's not very much.